welcome to, and I'm going to do it this way because it annoys everyone, the latest episode of Talking Talkie. I'm not remembering the numbers. Up yours, listeners. What a strong start to the podcast. It's me, Stephen Dixon, and with me is Chris Ballard, everyone's favourite Ballard. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, although if people have met my wife now, so I'm only just in the top two. It was three, but then my sister fortunately got married and took someone else's name, which helped me.
If it's any consolation, I have not met your wife, although I heard half the town has. Let's get on with the podcast. What a strong start. I started in combative mood because Torquay United themselves are in combative mood as they put Hungerford to the sword 5-0. What a result. It's a win in the cup. We love the cup. Chris Ballard, what was your reaction after seeing that result?
It was exactly what you would hope they would do, but based on years of experience, probably didn't expect them to. I know Hungerford were in the division below and they got relegated last year, which, to be fair, I literally just found out 5 minutes ago. But in the first half, bearing in mind that I wasn't actually at the game, listeners, which, you know, might not be a surprise considering my location, on the radio, it sounded like we absolutely murdered them. Admittedly, that's because in part of the commentator who we could be 9-0 down and we would be making a strong case to come back into the game. But five goals in the first half, I thought it was very encouraging. It seemed like we were getting the ball on the ground, passing it around nicely. A couple of pretty good goals. I did enjoy Tom Latley's double nutmeg. Always love double nutmeg, which I think saved Collins's blushes because he was through one-on-one with the goalkeeper and tried one of those dinks that when they go in, you're like, oh, that's so cool. But when they don't go in, you look like a moron.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wouldn't have done that playing against Wrexham in the last game of the season last season.
No. But yeah, it was a pretty comprehensive performance. I thought Brad Ash's goal was probably the pick of the bunch. McGavin putting the ball through for Ash to finish comfortably. Stobbs getting on the act with his, I think, one of his first goals of the season.
The McGavin renaissance. I know we've talked about it on this pod before. Okay, it's Hungerford. We should be beating them. But, I mean, we're seasoned Torquay fans. A 1-0 defeat at home was not out of the question for this one. But, yeah, the renaissance of McGavin is something I'm enjoying seeing. I didn't see it coming. I'm now wondering if we're going to see the same from Hansen at some point. He's getting a few more minutes on the book, but I actually like Stobbs' goal. I thought that was a really tidy finish. Came through to him perhaps a little bit fortuitously. I think there were a couple of deflections in the build up, but arrived at his feet in a bit of space. Admittedly, perhaps space you wouldn't get on a regular basis, but great finish. And I think for me, five goals in the first half, you know, obviously you can't be sniffed at. But what I was pleased with quietly, and I imagine Gary Johnson was as well, is the clean sheet. I just think we haven't shown in the league that we've got the ability to shut out. And I realise Hungerford didn't offer a lot, but to at least for the players' mentality to go, okay, look, we have got a nil against them now. So, you know, it's doable in terms of that. And I know that sounds weird to say in a 5-0 win, but I'm just pleased with that defensive aspect of the shutout, which we don't do very often.
No, it is nice to see. As you say, I think Hungerford's approach was combative, perhaps, and somewhat agricultural. I thought they came trying to get a point, not a point because it's a cup game, but trying to get the draw. And then, you know, having put the game out of sight at halftime, it was gratifying to see us keep the score at nil for them. We've seen, and even in games where we've won comfortably, there's an idiotic game and, you know, idiotic goal in the last 10 minutes and everyone's looking around. So I don't think you could have asked much more from the game. Jarvis getting a couple of goals was nice, although both of them were penalties. The second one I thought was a very generous award of a penalty. Mm-hmm. He was nudged in the back as the ball was coming in and he was in the air. So I guess physics takes over a little bit, but there was a certain amount of a triple pike about his fall to the ground. But he dispatched them both. It's nice to have him and Ash scoring in the same game. It's nice to have Stobbs getting on the act. And Lapsley's, you know, I think his scoring record so far this season has been pretty good. And the one thing about his goal...
He's, he's trying to, and it's strange because they're quite different players in a way, but the way Hall would make those late runs into the box, Lapsley seems to be doing in the same way, albeit not in the same kind of aerial dominance way, but just being a presence in there sometimes. And he's more of an annoying gnat, I would say, in the box rather than Asa Hall, you might try and pick out with a cross. Lapsley's just buzzing around and he's getting rewards for it, to be fair. And let's also be fair, McGavin hasn't got the legs to do that. So let's leave him further back.
Well, yeah, and I think that the striking thing about Lapsley's goal, aside from the double nutmeg, which again I do love those, is that the move started from our own penalty area.
Yeah.
And Collins was miles ahead of anybody else. You know, he was still onside, but he was, and Lapsley just kept going. Like a lot of people, myself included, when I play football, I would have been like, yeah, I'm not making that run.
Yeah.
The guy's gonna finish it or he's not. I'm not gonna be there to help out. But he made up 60, 70 yards and finished it, although it was a little bit fortunate, I think. And I think with the McGavin renaissance, nobody thought he didn't have any ability. You know, that we've seen plenty of players at Torquay over the years, and you're like, how are these professional footballers? They can't trap a bag of cement. How are they being paid to do this? That was never the case with McGavin. McGavin, a lot of it was decision-making and his ability to recover when he lost the ball. But now he's being played a little bit deeper. He's being able to be a quarterback, which is not a phrase I like to use because, as we know, American sports are terrible. but, you know, he has been able to spray some passes around and, you know, he's not as exposed in that setup. He's not being asked to be the box-to-box midfielder that perhaps he was at times last year because that's not his game. I think if he was able to have the redemption arc and, you know, stay with us beyond this season, that would be incredible considering where he was even this time last year.
Yeah, I think I'm reminded of, I forget who said it, it might have been Leroy Rossignol when we had him on, but a very different player, so ignore this comparison at the start, but Leroy Rossignol spoke about how Akinfenwa became a much better player after Torquay United because he stopped fighting his body, he stopped trying to be something he wasn't, and he just kind of then lent into the fact that, yeah, I'm going to be this big kind of force to be reckoned with up front. I don't have to run the channels. I'm going to do what I do well in a very different way because it's obviously a different position on the pitch. But I just feel like McGavin last season was trying to do things he couldn't do, like trying to be a ball carrier and shuttling more than he could naturally do. Whereas now, and I think maybe Johnson's been forced into a little bit with some of the injuries in midfield, and he's tried a few combinations in there. But I think he's kind of found himself a role where, yeah, like he can do the things he does well. He's not the most mobile, but again, for the last two seasons, we've been watching Asa Hall in that midfield, and he's not the most mobile, but has an influence on the game. So I just feel like he's found a bit of a groove. I just hope he can keep it and not overcomplicate it. Just you know, keep doing the things he can do well. And if that's spraying passes sometimes, then fine. But also don't force it. You know, I think it can get tempting when you feel like you're a player who can unlock a defence with some dinky through ball. It can be tempting to play that all the time. But it's Johnson's job now to keep his feet on the ground and go, yeah, you're in the team and we're going, but just keep things ticking over for us, you know, get the fullbacks into play, push us up the pitch when we can. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see it. I personally didn't see the renaissance coming. People were saying in the close season that this could be a big season for him. I personally wasn't one of those. I thought Johnson's seen him for a season. He doesn't fancy him. I've seen him play. I don't fancy him. But at this juncture, I mean, it's you know, I take my hat off to him because it must be very tempting after a season like we had last year and his personal season for McGavin to just say, look, if someone comes in for me, can I just leave on a free and get me off the wage bill?
Well, it was funny when you were talking about Akinfenwa then, because I had in mind somebody else from one of your teams. I was thinking of Fowler.
Yes, yeah.
Your team was impacted because of injury, you know, the injury that eventually ended his career on his hip. And he was a ball-playing midfielder. He was never going to be the guy to jump in and do tackles. That's what we had Matt Hockley for. That's what we had Tom Lapsley for.
That's a much better comparison than the one I made.
And I think it's, again, McGavin clearly wants to have a professional career. He started at a pretty high level at Ipswich. He had a very good season at King's Lynn, although they got relegated.
Yeah.
And I think when he was brought in, same with Hansen, when they were brought in, we thought, well, actually, this is the kind of player we've been saying we need. Mm-hmm. You know, Hall is getting old.
Yeah.
You know, Lapsley keeps getting injured. These are the kinds of players that we bring in. And because of how last season went, side note, it went badly. there's a certain amount of revisionism where you're like, well, they were never the right players for us. I think it's entirely probable that both of those players could restore their careers in a similar way to what we saw Dan Martin do. Mm. You know, when Dan Martin started with us, he was horrible. And he got sent off in the cup game, I think, at Havant,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, Johnson was very unhappy, as he said as much, and you didn't see him for a while. And then prior to his injury last season, he was probably the best player on, you know, in the squad. So
yeah,
it's not impossible to play for players to restart their career. Hansen, I've seen less of that would encourage me. That being said, I think we paid a fee for him. So someone's in something somewhere.
Yes. I haven't seen it yet, to be honest.
No.
I don't know. And I know it's very reductive to frame it this way, but I like to think about, you know, I almost revert back to Football Manager, to be honest. Like, what role are you trying to play in the team? What? And I'm not 100%. I'm still not, as a central midfielder, I'm not 100% sure what Hansen is. And that's after seeing him for over a season. I mean, granted, in dribs and drabs, but I'm just not 100% sure. Is he box to box? Is he a creator? Is he a tackler? I couldn't really.
I don't think he's a creator.
I couldn't really pin much on it, though, if you know what I mean.
I mean, yeah, but he was captain at Dover.
Yeah.
So again, a team that got relegated. So maybe in future we don't want to get players from teams that have been relegated. But, you know, he was highly thought of. And, you know, he's a pretty solidly built bloke. I could see him being a screen in front of the back four. But if you're playing McGavin there as the quarterback, you don't want to have two people screening because you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the division. I think it works with McGavin there because you do have pace with Stubbs and Collins and Ash and not so much Jarvis, but forward players have pace, so you don't need McGavin to have the pace. So, you know, I hope this renaissance continues. I feel like we have spoken about him pretty much in every podcast the past few weeks, but it's justified because his turnaround has been very impressive, and I hope it continues into the next, well, the rest of the season, really.
I just want to touch on the. I saw some suggestions of some people saying, and I it was very light touch, but some people saying that Johnson should have used this game as a chance to shuffle his pack a bit more. Not that we've got a huge pack, but just to make the priority the league off the bat. What's your take on that? I mean, for me. Oh, yeah, no, I asked you a question, and I was going to jump
I was going to say, like, you asked me a question.
What's your take on that, Chris?
Have you ever considered a career in politics? I would disagree with that viewpoint. I think you're on a run, you know, of whatever, 7 victories from 8, I think, or 9 but prior to the Hungerford game. Mm. I think in our position, you've seen the green shoots of recovery. You want to do everything you can to continue that. Yeah. I think also, like you say, we only had 6 subs on the bench of the day. We didn't have enough to fill the bench because the FA Cup ruled, I think, our 7 subs. Who would you have brought in? Maybe you could have started Luke Pearce. Well, Jarvis and Ash aren't going to like that because they're there to score goals. Maybe you can start, is it Callum Thomas? Somehow he's even younger than Ollie Tomlinson. And, you know, Dylan De Silva apparently has been binned off. I don't know where the hell he has. Is he injured?
It's always frighteningly silent whenever things like this happen at Talk United. It's always just his name's not on the team sheet, and that's that.
We don't. I mean, I maybe could have seen us starting Hansen instead of Lapsley. I maybe could have seen that argument, but that being said, I think it's important to continue the momentum.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm with you. I think that spine of the team is really important because I think we're all probably in agreement that it's not a really strong spine at the team, but if we can get them playing consistently and get a fair win behind them, then they've already shown that they can pull together some results on the spin, and it's not worth, you know, disrupting that rhythm for for any reason, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I like a cup run. I've always liked a cup run.
That's the thing. Like, are we going to win the FA Cup? Probably not. But could we get to the first round? Well, we've drawn Maidstone at home in the next round of the cup. So we could be in the first round. And last year in the first round, we got Derby County and we got them to a replay. So I think on the financial side, that could be very good for us.
Yep.
You know, I think the draw, and we'll get onto this later on, but it's probably one of the best draws we could have hoped for reasonably. And I do love a cup one. I think I said it last year when we were, you know, in the qualifying round before we ended up getting Derby. Like, the FA Trophy is something different. But again, with the trophy, if you find yourself in the semi-final almost by accident, that's when you can get excited about it.
Exactly.
It's like when Premier League clubs do the League Cup.
Yes.
They do not give a shit until the semi-final.
No. If you get there, then you go, oh, a chance of silverware. Let's go.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously our focus is going to be on the league or the non-league. Do you still call it the league? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything that we can do to kind of keep the tide going is beneficial. The exception to that is if we then play Maidstone in the cup and lose five players to injury. But
yeah, well, I mean, you touched on it then, so we'll jump ahead because I'm sure it will be previewed properly in a future pod. But we've drawn Maidstone at home. I think it was at home, wasn't it?
It was at home. Yes.
Yep. Maidstone at home. So we've got Maidstone at home as a double header, starting with the league game this weekend. But let's just touch on reaction to that cup draw first. You think that was an ideal draw then, do you? Because I'm not so sure.
If you'd have said ahead of the game, I would have wanted a home draw, and I would have wanted a team in either our division or the division or a division below, because I think that makes it realistic that we have a chance of progressing. The last thing I would have wanted is to end up having to go to, you know, freaking Bromley or something. You know, a team in a division above and away from home. It's nice that they are going to have two games in a row at home. I don't, honestly, I've not seen who the game after that is because Eastbourne game's been moved. But it'll
be Welling at home, I think.
Well, there are three games in a row at home. I think that's great. I think we can start to rebuild this idea of playing more as a fortress. And there's a better than even chance that we get to the first round of the FA Cup, which, you know, hasn't always been our plan in years past.
No. No, so, I mean, yeah, we had an all right run last year, but I mean, I feel like we had a very bad run for a long time in the FA Cup.
Yeah, for a while we weren't getting to the first. Well, like the previous year, I think we lost to Hamlet and Waterlooville, which was the game we mentioned about Dan Martin. And, you know, over the past 20 years, I could probably think of half a dozen times we've got knocked out by a team from a division below. Yeah. I would like us to get past the first round of the Cup, you know, get to the third round and get a championship side.
Yeah, I mean, because I still remember, and listeners will be surprised to hear I'm this old, but I remember when we got Birmingham. That must have been the third round.
Yeah,
and we took them to a replay, didn't we?
We were 0-0 at Playmore.
But we should have done them at Playmore. I remember, and I was only young watching it, but I remember thinking we're the better team here because I think Steve Woods cracked the crossbar, didn't he, from distance. Yeah.
I've told this story before about Steve Woods, but I'm going to tell it again.
Feel free.
I was a betting shop manager at the time in Playmore, was at Mary Church Road. And Steve Woods' father used to come in and bet him to be the first goal scorer in every game. And he would bet like £2. And it was like...
Must have lost a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but he came in that day. He said, what price is Stevie to score? I'm like, to you, I honestly, I can't remember his name, 50-1, thinking here's going to be £2. He goes, okay, I'll have £20 on it, right? Christ, I should have called in to make sure that was okay. Okay, fine. I go to the game. And he whazzes one from like 35 yards. Yeah. And everyone else is like jumping out of their seat. Meanwhile, I'm going, oh, shit, I'm getting sacked in the morning.
Anyone but him.
But then when it hit the bar, I was slightly pleased because I didn't want to lose my job. But yeah, that was that was one of the last times I can remember seeing a Premiership side at Playmore.
Were they Premier League at the time?
Relegated that season.
Yeah.
And the best player on the field was
Steve Bruce in charge, wasn't it?
Sorry?
It was Steve Bruce in charge of them. Bruce,
yeah. And Jermaine Pennant was playing for them. And Patrick Berger, I think. Kinnan was the best player on the field by a country mile.
We're due a good run, and yeah, let's do it.
And actually, in the replay, we should have got. I think we should have gone in front.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it would be nice to have a cup game, if only to fill the coffers. I mean, I'm sure the owner might take most of that money, but it would be nice to have some money coming in for a change, rather than feeling like, you know, you're going to get drawn away at some god awful place. I remember one year we got to the third round and we got Carlisle away.
Yeah.
That's no fun. Yeah. And look, I still enjoy the FA Cup as a competition. It's one of my, like, the third round day is one of my favourite days of the football calendar.
Oh, absolutely agree. Yeah, no. So, like, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was being cheeky. I would have preferred, Maidstone aren't a terrible team. I would rather another Hungerford if it was possible.
Yeah, but what are the chances of us putting two teams to the sword that we should in successive cup runs?
That's true. Yeah, fine. So, I mean, we're going to mention Maidstone a lot today, but it's Maidstone in the weekend at home. It's the first of the doubleheaders. It's the league game first. Actually, I'm going to start with the classic question. Would you rather win in the league against them and lose in the cup, or vice versa?
I mean, I feel like I have to say win the league, because that is the most sensible answer, but I don't think losing in the league is the end of our season. Although, if you were to read Facebook after we lose, you would not necessarily agree with that. So I don't think it, you know, I think we're going to win both games. I will say that now from the outset. A lot of it depends on, like, if you get to the first round and then you get, I don't know, again, Bromley. I keep picking on Bromley, but if you get Bromley where in the first round, you're massively disappointed. But if you go there and then you get, I don't know, Derby, are they still in League One?
Yeah, they are.
You get Derby again, or Exeter away.
Yeah.
That could be a fun day. So a lot of it depends on the draw. It's a shame they don't do the draw ahead of time so that we can answer this question better.
Yeah, no, that is true. I mean, yeah, I would do the sensible answer and say I want 3 points on the board. I think already at this point, I think the title race is going to go down to the wire, and I just want, we haven't smashed into a rhythm. I know we've put together a bit of a run, but I want us to just start cantering a bit now, you know, actually get a bit of form together. Start, and I think that Hungerford result might help, just start playing with a little bit more swaz, as the young people would say. You know, like when we went up the last time from this league, like it felt like the players were going into every game excited to play, and that's what you want. I mean, like, yeah, all right, let's go do it. I still feel like there's a sheen of nervousness, because perhaps partly because when it doesn't go our way, there is a bit of a reaction at playing more can be a bit of a cauldron if things aren't going the right way.
Yeah, it can be unfriendly quickly.
Yes, yeah. So I just want us to get into that bit of a canter and start playing with a bit of confidence and feeling like,
yeah.
Because what essentially happened last time we were in this league is that we were going into games feeling superior to everyone else here. I don't think it's going to go that way this season, but I want a bit of that kind of air of confidence about the place. And yeah, I mean, hopefully starting with 3 points against Maidstone over the weekend. A 5-0 win against Hungerford, do you think you'll stick with that same lineup?
Probably, because no one else is getting fit, are they?
Doesn't seem like it. Not that we ever get told.
No idea where Hall and Dawson are. I think once Dawson comes in, he'll probably start instead of McGavin and give McGavin a chance off the bench. And Dawson was excellent for us last year. I was not sold when he came in. I was like, this is another former Johnston man. Why? Where are we getting this guy from? But he was very good. And actually, now that I've looked at the table again, I realise that we lost the last league game. So maybe beating Maidstone does mean that we're not going into the, oh no, we've lost two in a row, the sky is falling, we're doomed, Captain Mannering.
Well, the thing is, Maidstone will be turning up at ours, and they'll have their own designs on at least making the playoffs this year. I mean,
they came down with us last season. You know, I think it's telling that the teams that came down, I mean, it's actually three teams that came down into this division because of the organisation, are all doing well. Govor are doing annoyingly well, but you know, we'll get to them another day.
Yeah.
And I think Maidstone are still fully professional as well.
Oh, are they? I didn't
I think
realise
they
that.
stay fully professional, so that makes a big difference. And if they beat us, they'll go above us, and then, you know, oh no, we can't even be ahead of Maidstone. So it is important that we get a positive result. I would hope that we can crack on, although I feel like I'm saying that a lot.
Yeah.
This
No,
season.
I know I talked earlier, I play more can turn a little bit if it's going against you. I just think it's so important on Saturday after the last league result, which obviously a lot of people are calling for Johnson's head. Got to start quickly. I mean, if and we have done in some games, you know, just start quickly. But when we're on top, bloody put the ball in the net. that's my bit of advice, which is great tactician.
Yeah, I would like us to get to a point where we're playing the last half an hour, much like we did at the weekend, the last half an hour with very little in the way of pressure. You know, we've won three games more than we've lost, and we have a goal difference of three.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we would suggest that the games we're winning, we're only winning by one goal, and that's not ideal. You know, it would be nice to be like, oh, it's 3-0, 20 minutes left. I can
I
probably
did,
turn on.
I had a watch of Johnson's post-match interview after the Hungerford game, and what he said was, he was really pleased with the first half, obviously 5-0 in the first half, but what he said was that he was disappointed that we didn't keep our foot on the gas for at least some of that second half. He said against teams like Maidstone, he name-checked them for this weekend, that you've got to kind of, I suppose, keep your foot on their neck for a bit. And I don't necessarily think the second half of Hungerford was sloppy, but I think he was just trying to instill in the team that you've got to be on for 90 minutes, because we still haven't really, I mean, a 5-0 win is obviously terrific, but people keep saying we need a 90 minutes of, we're having kind of 20 minute spells here, 20 minute spells there, where we look like we're way too good for this team, for this league. But yeah, I am quietly pleased that he kind of said that at the end of that game. It was like, a look, yeah, 5-0 is great. Nothing in the second half. They had a couple of half chances. Maidstone next week, bigger test. Let's go again.
Yeah, and I think as well, we've seen the more successful Johnson sides. They have not let up. You know, we go to Hartlepool in the in the National League, and we get 2-0 up very quickly, and then we put 5 past.
Yeah.
And we saw it in the last time we were in this division. You know, and I think it was a different division then.
Yeah.
I think it's more difficult now, and that's a fair thing to say. But we also know that our defence isn't very good. So getting 2-0 up and trying to defend for half an hour is probably not going to go well for us. In fact, it didn't go well for us against Dorking in the first game. Not Dorking, Dover, excuse me. I always get the crappy teams mixed up. You know, we were 2-0 up after 20 minutes, and we thought, this is less like watching Brazil. And then didn't do anything for the rest of the game. So, not to rely on cliches, but 2-0 is a dangerous score. I would like to see us get 3 goals in front of the side and then see the game out professionally, which, again, is not something that we've been very good at probably for the past 2.5 seasons.
Yeah. So predictions for the weekend then, Chris. I mean, I think you've already said that you're predicting 2 wins against Maidstone over the next 2 weeks, but let's focus on the league result first. What are you going with this
week? I'm going to say 3-1. I don't see us not conceding, because that would then be 2 in a row, and that seems unlikely. But I would hope. I think we need a good start in the game. If we come out there the first 15 minutes and get a goal, I think it could work out to be a very good day. The issue, and as you've alluded to already, if you go out there and it's an hour of not very good football, things can get a little bit nasty, is not the right word, but, you know, frantic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's perfectly justified. We've seen some bad football at Playmore over the years. Yeah, I think for me, maybe on the pessimistic side, I just feel like Maidstone are going to come here for a point and they might get it. We're porous at the back. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet here. I'll go for a fun game, though. Let's go for a tool draw. And have a bit of topsy-turvy Gary time stuff on the go.
I think what's funny, though, is, you know, teams coming for a draw I think if teams want to come for a draw, they need to come and attack us.
Yeah, because, you're probably right.
If you try and defend for an hour, we have the players to score against you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, playing for a draw, the way to play for a draw is to try and win the game. That makes any sense in this backwards world.
No, I think you're probably right. Yeah. You will find some joy in our against our defense. I mean, I think that's been that much is clear so far this season. All eyes to play more this weekend. There's just one any other business that I want to bring up, Chris. If you've got anything else, then feel free. But as X Goals on Twitter tweeted this week, happy birthday to Gary Hours, who is formerly of this parish. Prompted a bit of discussion online. So Off the Line blog tweeted that Gary Hours doesn't get enough credit for his recruitment at TUFC. McDonald, Winter, Cameron, Hall, Davis, Andrews, Edwards, Reed, Dixon, Niarte. And the comment that Off the Line blog writes on Twitter is Gary Johnson got us up, but don't forget it was Gary Hours that built that team. I don't know. I suppose it's a bit of fun interaction online. Does Gary Hours, the man who left us, who got us relegated to the Conference South and left us, I don't know, what were we, placed 14th in the National League South when he left, does he deserve more credit for the job he did at Torquay, Chris?
No, I think he has the exact right amount of credit. He recruited well, as we saw, because when a real manager came in, they did really well for Johnson. I think you have to separate Hours the manager slash coach from Hours the recruiter. Those players you mentioned, most of them did very well under Johnson. A lot of them have gone to have careers in a high level. Some of them haven't. Some of them are playing for Poole. but, you know, I'm not going to go around thanking Gary Hours because I think a lot of our travails in the past 4 years have been because of the decisions he made as manager. But you can't deny the players that he brought in have been good. I mean, Kyle Cameron is a good example. I think he was brought in by Hours. He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible for us, and people wanted him out. Jamie Reid, another example, was getting all kinds of shellacking from the pop side, but then Johnson comes in and I don't know what he did, but he coached him or he gave him confidence. And both of those players have ended up being really good. I mean, Jamie Reid scoring pretty regularly in League One. Carl Cameron, I don't know what he's doing. I don't care. But he has a career outside of, you know, the National League now. So I think.
I think there's not much more to say, is there? I think he recruited well. I mean, as a manager, found seriously lacking time and again. I think that's why he's in the category he is. I mean, in terms of in Torquay United fans' heads, I mean, he could clearly recruit well, but what he couldn't do, and I think for him, I don't know if it was a lack of tactical knowledge per se. I mean, I think sometimes that the influence of tactics can be overstated a little bit at this level. I think it was more his inability to relate to any of the players to motivate them on almost any level. I can't see him inspiring anyone to perform at their best. I'm not saying, again, from a tactical point, he might well have been fine and told Jamie Reid to run the channels or whatever he wants to do. But I think he was a manager that ended up lost to the way society's changed almost and found himself in a position where he couldn't get a tune out of almost any modern player just because they wouldn't relate to the way that he might do things. So in many ways, I respect the players he brought in. He could clearly spot a player, but as a football manager, it really means very little unless you can get a tune out of them. And under Johnson, it became quite clear that he could get a tune out of them.
I think it's funny, you know, basically saying that Gary Hours is an old-fashioned manager because Gary Johnson's not exactly Mauricio.
I think that's what comes down to a little bit about how you relate to the players. I can just see a bit more from Johnson in terms of how he'd interact on a one-to-one basis in terms of man management. I'm not saying that they can relate to him in like a friendly, I'm your best mate way. I mean, Gary Johnson himself is, how old is he now? He's
90.
Yeah, but, so he's their friend, but I'm just saying that I can just see how in a one-to-one basis he might, you know, embolden you, whereas I can't see Gary Owers doing that for anyone. You know, I just can't see how you'd leave a conversation with Gary Owers and feel more positive or more inspired to be at your best. Yeah. I may be wrong. I mean, that's just going off, you know, what we could see in interviews and how he was around the place. But yeah, you could clearly spot a player, and yeah, we got some great players in. It'd be great if we could get some more great players in at the moment. But
defender would be nice.
What's that?
Still think we're lacking a centre half.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't think. I mean, even when you look at that list, Niarte who's someone that Johnson actually let go in the end. He would walk into this team, I think.
I think I'd walk into this team.
Well, you a centre half, are you, Chris?
I can be for the right price. Probably more than what they could pay me then.
And for the latest on Chris's move to Saudi Arabia's Football League, the junior.
No, I wouldn't do that. I have my principles. Wait, hang on. How much are they going to pay me?
Let me see.
I have principles first.
Look, all I'm saying is if the Saudis want to offer us some money to do a podcast on their league, I'm well up for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would feel very bad about it while I was doing my Donald, you know, my Scrooge McDuck dive into my pool of money.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, if any of the Saudi leagues listening, and I'm certain they are, I mean, a National League South podcast about Talk United is probably where they'd be.
Mohammed bin Salman is one of our favourite listeners, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, and he keeps leaving five-star reviews as well. Yeah, so have you got anything for any other business, Chris, or do I wrap this?
I do not. I think that wraps us up pretty well. Looking forward to hearing Maidstone twice. Hopefully getting 3 points and a berth in the first round of the cup.
Perfect. And you've talked me down from starting the podcast in a very combative mood. So thanks for that, Chris. So thank you for joining us on Talking Torquay.
Thank you.
And thank you from me, Stephen Dixon. This has been Talking Torquay. Goodbye.